You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, 10th of November. All right, reality sat in for 2 days. Now let's see if we can get our bearings again. We'll look maybe a little more optimistically than what we've talked about the last few days about where the Jazz are heading. Run around the league and get you ready for tonight's game against the Miami Heat. That's the plan for today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Hope you're doing great today. Thanks so much for tuning into Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz with insight, expertise, geeky numbers, things you can't get anywhere else. I appreciate you tuning in very, very much. I want to give a quick shout out to the Bell family, to Airman Miller, to some of the good people we met over at the Palmer House this week doing our Hoops for Troop Veterans Day community event. It was really a wonderful. It's been a cool week for me, actually. We did that on Wednesday, and then that night, the Miller family honored all employees that have been with the company for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, or 35 years. In a super nice banquet. The Miller Gail was there. A lot of Larry. Actually, it was really emotional. A lot of old Larry sound bites and Larry quotes and Larry reading his favorite poem, of course, with tears. You know, the essence of what the Miller family is now being, you know, charted by Gail and these incredible individuals, Clark Whitworth and Steve Starks and many others. But it's still Gail, and then through Gail, it's still Larry. And that was really evident and cool the other night. So that was really, gosh, it's just the coolest thing to work for a company that has its ducks in a row of who they are. And, you know, we're told all of the time that our purpose is to make the community in which we work a better place. As it was said in that, like, what company does that? Like, our vision is to be the best place in town to work and the best place in town to do business. Our company's success is based on personal growth, continuous improvement. And then they go on to talk about how the principle of the Utah Jazz and the Miller family is to make the community in which we work a better place. Well, I mean, I think Gail donated $10 million this year to homeless services. I think she's backing it up. All right, let's get into it. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Fun stuff going on in November. A little thank you coming from Blake and the crew. And Stevens Henniger College. So those are the two sponsors today. We appreciate them very, very much. So the last few days have been kind of, I feel like we had 2 days off. We were coming off a pretty torturous performance. I've been struck by that we've had three offensive nights in 11 games that are really, you know, not quite impossible to win with, but pretty close. When you're under 90, when your offense is under 90 points per 100 possessions. And so I think there was a stark element of the last few days of like, oh my gosh. Now, on the other end, we kind of knew this, right? Like, we've talked all offseason about how much can defense carry you. I think we knew we were going to have a hard time scoring. We got lured in a little bit by the Ricky Rubio hot few days, and then Donovan Mitchell got hot for 5 days, and we saw what happened when everybody played pretty well. My only concern on that is that with everyone playing well, we've only had two nights all year offensively above average, Denver and Portland, or no, Denver and Dallas. Okay, so that's the only slight concern. I'm probably more concerned about that than I am some of the bad nights. With that said, like, we also knew this was going to be a heck of a transition this year. We knew that you're running from an offense where you've lost, you know, your main shot takers, even maybe more than the secondary shot takers, right? So it's not just Gordon Hayward 16 shots and George Hill's 12 shots, but actually Shelvin Mack was taking 7 a game and Lyles was taking a 7 a game. And, you know, if you even kind of look at our last 5 minutes of games in the clutch last year, Hayward took 73, Joe Johnson took 42, Gobert took 41. Hill took 32, Mack took 20, Ingles, and then Hood. So with Joe Johnson out, we're actually without 4 of our 5 primary shot takers late in games. So you now have really a very, very new and different team. And then you're asking, I'm a huge believer in this, who has had roles like this before? Right, nobody in the NBA does anything well the first time. So Gobert favors have. Ingles has never started before. Hood's never been the primary offensive focus before. Rubio has done this before, but I could almost argue, and I've always had him on the list of have done it before. I could almost put him on the list of haven't because of just the incredible change in his shot profile. I mean, I think Rubio's taking close to 50% more shots per game than he did at any other point in his career. That's right. He's taking 12.5 shots a game. Last year he took 8.7. In Minnesota, 1 year he took 10, but that lasted for 22 games. I mean, Rubio is averaging 5 more points a game than he's ever averaged at any other point in his career. He's never taken more than 2.5 threes a game. He's taking 100% more threes. So I almost might call him into a position that has never been done before. Cephalosha certainly has done this before, and he's looked great. Frankly, he's looked exactly like we thought. Donovan Mitchell has not done this before. Jonas Jerebko, Joe Johnson have done it before, and Epe Udo. I might get that right this season. I'm not sure. So some of that, you know, all right, so there's the now let's, okay. So now there's a level of optimism here, I think. One is, it's not as though something's gone drastically wrong. It's just that it's been a little more stark than I think we thought it was going to be. And that's just because you're optimistic, naturally, about your team. We've got really bright players with a really bright head coach. So they'll get better. They'll figure it out. The effort and desires are all in the right spot, right? So you've got probably as smart a coach as there is in the NBA. And you've got a bunch of guys that haven't shown signs that they're going to go do their personal thing. And so that leads you to some belief that this thing worked out. They had a great practice yesterday. I was there. They worked very, very hard on ball movement and going back to the basics. Break the seams. And that's, we've got to get into the paint, whether it's a Nash dribble around the baseline and back out the other side, whether it's breaking into the 45 somewhere in the offense and then kicking out and rotating. And we've got to have great spacing out of that. Now, there's going to be nights where this group doesn't shoot well. And that's just going to happen because that's the reality a little bit of who we are offensively. But that's we got to have that, and then we've got to find a way to get Favors more involved. I think you'll see Favors with a higher level of involvement. You know, the idea was playing him kind of as the space wing big, and you know, when you space him, no one's really following him, so maybe then you're better off having Gobert there some of the time, not all the time, but some of the time. Favors has a quiet strength of being a good mid-roll guy with a pass, so that, and he's a very good paint-to-paint passer to Gobert or to anybody else. So maybe you'll see a little bit more of integrating Favors on the pick and roll early in games and allow him to not necessarily always go to the basket, but if he catches, intuitively defenses will collapse in, and then he moves it from there. And I think the other one is just trying to figure out and let Rodney settle himself a little bit. I thought this whole time the idea that Rodney was going to be the primary scorer in this big year, in a contract year, felt pretty unnatural. Felt like a, you know, if we look at his box score and remove his name, it's not right. We discovered something on Rodney yesterday on the show that I didn't realize, and I'm now very intrigued by. And that is that if you really look at Rodney's shooting right now, the only area that it's not as though it's off universally, right? Like, so I went and dug in yesterday and, you know, had us suddenly looking at his angles on threes and this and that. And there's some awfully interesting things there, right? So the fact that he on each angle is 30%, but straight away he is at 50%. Okay, well, you know what? That actually just puts him at average or even maybe a little bit above. If you look at Rodney and just really fundamentally without too deep a dig, which is kind of the opposite of what I did yesterday, and look at his shot zones for a second. Here, I think this is interesting. So on the corner threes this year, he's 4 of 10. That's above league average, right? Actually, by the way, interestingly, league average, the right corner three is better than the left corner three, which is weird. I don't know why that is. Okay. Above the break three, league average is 36%. He's at 37. Mid-range shooting, he's at 43. League average is 39.8. In around the basket, league average is 62%. He's at 54. That sounds brutal, but really it's actually one shot. Okay? So he's 6 of 11. If he was 7 of 11, he's actually above league average. So it's one shot. In the paint, non-restricted area, league average is 39%. It's the worst shot in the game. Isn't that weird? It 38.8%. It's the worst shot in the game. And he's 28.5. That's it, right there. If he fixes that shot, which at one point in his career was almost his go-to shot, right? If we go 15-16, I'll bet we go look at that shot. I'll bet you it's pretty good. That one shot is why Rodney's numbers are not right. That makes me feel pretty good, actually. Now, his starts are really funky right now, and last year it was the opposite. Last year his starts were great and his third quarters were bad. So, who knows? By the way, in 15-16, he shot 42% on that shot, above league average. Okay? So, it's there. His starts are funky, but they were the reverse last year. I think that's small sample size, but they're funky. His effective field goal percentage is 26% in the first quarter, 70% in the second. My point on this is, not all of it's fixable. This is the reality of who we are. It was a bit stark. I think we got punched in the gut. We're a little surprised by it. But we'll be all right. Let's watch it develop. I think it might actually be kind of exciting. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. I think I've been telling you enough about the Murdochs. You've probably heard about them from now. So what do you want to know that's going on now? Well, one thing I always talk about is no regrets, the Murdoch's no regrets approach. So they try to do everything they can to make sure that when you go into one of their dealerships, whether it's Murdoch Hyundai in Murray at 4646 South State Street or their Logan or Linden location or even any of their Chevys, that you have a no regrets experience. What does that mean? That means 5-day exchange policy, price match guaranteed, safety inspections for life, car washes for life, and it's the auto group that they want you to say, we trust. That's what we trust. Now, you have a Hyundai, so you also get America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty with a Hyundai Assurance. I told you before that Blake buys the cars, and they're all on his ledger, and he's got to move them out. He didn't get rid of all the Tucsons, so $5,000 off the 2017 Tucson. The 2018 Hyundai Elantra is in at $14,990, and that's with Hyundai Motor Financing, so that's a great deal for you. So get it all started at MurdochHyundai.com, 4646 South State Street. Logan, Lyndon, and then my buddy Blake, stop by and say hi to him at the Murray location. Tell him you came from Locked On Jazz, and then if they don't treat you really well, punch him. I was just seeing if you were paying attention when I said punch him earlier. I just wanted to see if you were paying attention to that. All right. You know, we're now a society that promotes violence all the time, so I just did it. I just thought, see if you were paying attention. It was stupid. That's really what it was. I'm debating whether I edited it out, but I'll leave it because I think you think it's funny. Hopefully. You want me to go Heat or you want me to go around the NBA? Let's go around the NBA for a second. I just am still in love with the Toronto Raptors. Last night, they played what was a really fun game against New Orleans. Did you know that DeMarcus Cousins is taking the most above-the-break catch-and-shoot threes of anyone in the NBA? He took another 10 threes last night. He went 2 for 10. The Al Jefferson rule kicked in on the Pelicans last night. If your primary shot taker scores fewer points than field goal attempts, you will lose. Even if Drew Holiday drops 34 points last night. If your primary shot taker takes more shots than field goal attempts, you lose. DeMarcus Cousins took 24 shots last night, scored 20 points. Had 7 turnovers. Brutal night. Jameer Nelson, who Denver cut and actually didn't miss it all later in the night, plays 28 minutes and closes games for the Pelicans. Last night, Toronto's bench unit kind of was on and off, didn't have quite the success. CJ Miles back, he took 10 shots in 17 minutes, but I still, late in that game, they just went to DeMar DeRozan, and actually late in the game, in the final possessions, that a lot of that mid-range stuff that people criticize DeRozan for actually becomes pretty efficient in the final 3 minutes of the game, and so those are actually good shots now, or at least better shots, and than they are in the rest of the game, and he was so good last night. He also had 8 assists. Worth watching Kyle Lowry. He had a decent night last night, played more in control. If he gets better, they get better. They're 7-4, 4-1 at home. Really like the Raptors, like the way they're built, like the way they're put it. Talked about a lot with Kevin Pelton on Locked On NBA. If you haven't heard that this week, please make sure you go grab it. It was quite good. Kevin was terrific. So interesting. That was a fun game. Played very fast, 104 possessions. Both teams' offensive ratings were well over 110, which was a good one there. Thunder lose again last night. They've now lost, I believe, 4 in a row. They are now 4-7. And there was a level of panic that kind of came out of some of the Thunder fans last night. That's not the worst loss. The Sacramento loss is the problem. But again, shot attempts, Russell Westbrook 22, Carmelo 20, Paul George 14. And Billy Donovan changed their rotation last night and had Paul George play with the bench unit, which I think is a good idea, as I talked about with Pelton on Locked On NBA. Their offense wasn't good last night. Or Denver's defense was good, which would be a really big story. And Paul Millsap took 17 shot attempts, Jokic 16. I still am not sure they have that figured out. Moutier was great for them off the bench. Millsap just about pulled it off. Last night he had 17 shots, 17 points, so he didn't do the Al Jefferson rule and defy it as Denver won. Good win by Denver. They're 5-2 at home, 7-5 overall. Really good win by Denver last night. They looked better. Shots might have gone in a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. They were 9 of 27 from 3. Sometimes it's hard when you're watching a team, but it just seemed like they had a little bit more continuity taking place. Sacramento got another win, but what's interesting, George Hill is having a terrible year. George Hill played 19 minutes, was 0-4, has not scored in the last 3 games. No, he didn't play in one of them. He's not scored in the last 2. He's 0-7 in his last 2 games. His body is just breaking down on him. It's sad. And the money he turned down from the Jazz, holy smokes, did we get lucky maybe. I mean, really, we might have gotten super, super lucky that that extension never happened. Didn't play the Pistons game for personal reasons, so and it hasn't scored since, so I hope there's not something, you know, bigger that's taking place that's got him off. He's such a good dude. But just, you know, surprising to see him. His numbers, when you look at him, don't look that off, right? He's got his minutes played and his three-point shooting's at 40% and everything kind of looks all right. And then you look in, and on the first two nights of the year, he was really, really good. And then since then, he's just been had these nights where it's just clear his body's failing him. Good win by Sacramento. They've won two in a row. And, you know, it's interesting. Amir Johnson last night played 7 minutes, and I thought he had such a huge impact on the Jazz game. I'm not about to say that, like, with Embiid, they're not as good. But Amir Johnson is a player that positively impacts games, every single game. And they didn't get that out of him last night. I think those were my thoughts on the NBA last night. We usually do Pack Friday. I feel like this seat early in the year, there's not that much value to doing it every single week, or maybe there is actually this time of year, but we're not doing it today. So I hope that's all right. But I did want to take a just quick look at the five best offensive and defensive teams in the league. I thought there was some interest in that because it's interesting how fast it's happened. Warriors, Rockets, Cavaliers, Clippers, Raptors. Pacers are a surprise at six. One note I think is really interesting and worth keeping an eye on this year, I talked about this on Locked on NBA, is the Clippers are the 16th best shooting team, number one offensive rebounding team, fourth best offensive team in the league. Like, they're living on their offensive rebounding. Offensive rebounding, in my opinion, has become more valuable as the game has sped up. Five best defenses in the league right now: Boston by a large margin. Oklahoma City's offense is 22nd and their defense is 2nd. Memphis, Portland, Utah. So four of the five are Western Conference teams despite playing the loaded offenses. Orlando sits in at 6th. Worth noting those defenses, a lot of those defenses are forcing a lot of turnovers. Thunder are not. Thunder are getting people to miss shots. Portland is 4th in the league defensively while 25th in the league against stop. Oh, no, that's their own offense. Sorry, that's wrong four factors. My bad. That's really weird. Portland's 25th in the league in shooting. Best teams stopping the shot are usually the teams that end up being the best defensive teams. Right now, that's Boston, Memphis, Philadelphia, probably because they played us, Portland, Oklahoma City, the Warriors. We're not in that group. We're 16th. So what's interesting about us, we're playing great defensively for all the other reasons. And the shots going in against us, we're last in the league stopping above the break threes. Today's show is brought to you by Stevens Henniger College. If you're heading to work right now and don't love it, in fact, you don't like it at all, maybe you got a family, you keep thinking you got to change something, you don't have an answer, maybe Stevens Henniger can be the answer for you here. They've got a 3-week dating period, not quite the most exciting date you've ever been on in your life when you do it with education, but maybe the most worthwhile date. And the idea is that for 3 weeks you can go at no cost, check out how their system works, and see if this is for you. Maybe you're a little older today and education's better for you and going to work better for you. 4-week fast-paced classes, 10 hours a week of classes, and it's built for your success. Is it a computer science course that you want? Maybe that's it. Courses start every month. Cool thing about Stevens Henniger, once you go to Stevens Henniger, you're always there, always part of their family. So if you suddenly have a class you want to audit later on because the computer science world has changed, you can always come back, no charge. Pretty cool. That's kind of their commitment to you, to making you, putting you in a position to open up opportunities, help with your career placement. They have a career placement staff. You walked in the door, you're greeted by a family that you're part of forever. They've won best in state several times for reasons. Is it business? Is it HR? Is it computer networking and programming? You decide for yourself. But maybe the answer to get your life to that next step and out of the rut it's in is Stevens Henniger. Go text keyword 88588 or visit youineducation.com. That's youineducation.com. Keyword 88588 right now and find out if Stevens Henniger might be the opportunities that you've never had, gives you the opportunities that you've never had before. All right, Miami Heat tonight. A few interesting fun facts on this one. These are the two best teams in the NBA defending the paint. Whiteside and Gobert, right? What's interesting about Miami is they allow the fewest threes in the league. So while they're the best paint defense, they actually allow a lot of shots in the paint. And it'll be interesting to see if you have a night where the ball falls, you're going to be all right. But so Miami's got this kind of interesting defense. They're the seventh best at defending the restricted area. They're not great at defending the corner three, which is weird because they take more of them than anyone. They're the number one team overall at defending the paint. Teams are shooting 50.8% in the paint against Miami. But they allow the most amount of shots there. 54% of opponent shots are in the paint. Same time, they allow the fewest three-point shots. Okay? So they're going to get you off the three-point line with their athleticism. Now you're driving, and this is where you got to kick. And then you got to penetrate again, and you got to kick. And then you got to penetrate again, and then you got to kick. And that's very much going to be the key for them. Last year, when they had Dragic and Waiters on the floor together, their offense was great. The minute you took one of them off, they became average. And once you took two of them off, they were awful. Tyler Johnson's back. Maybe that'll help them out a little bit. He's not shooting the ball great, though. So we'll be curious. Justice Winslow, who everybody loved, I mean, pick everyone to give up everything, probably including us. We loved him. Everyone loved him. That wasn't a Jazz thing. Everyone loved him. Really interesting, deep kid. Dad played for Phi Slamma Jamma. He's 24% outside the paint last year. This year he's 6 of 21. So that has not changed a huge amount. From the other notes on this one, from an offensive standpoint, they're led by Dragic in the pick and roll, and we got to figure out how we're going to deal with it. Their offense, they've taken 104 corner threes this year. Even the Rockets haven't taken that many. Now, they're 26 in the league in making them, but they get that shot off. They're ninth in the league in shooting above the break threes. We've got two things going against us right now that I think are just numbers, bizarre number things. They'll straighten out. We are the best team in the league, paint non-restricted. So you don't get to, in the sixth best team in the restricted area. So you don't get in on us, and we're pretty darn good defensively right there once you get in there. And but the two things, we're 29th in the league on mid-range shots. That'll league average is 40%. We're allowing 44. That's just going to come down a little bit. We're 30th in the league on defending above the break threes. I don't believe we were great at it last year either, honestly. But we're at 40, almost 42%, and league average is 36%. So that will come back down a little bit. So those two numbers are heading in our favor as we head into this matchup. Obviously, Rubio's in a little bit of a slump, so hopefully he comes out of it. I think he's 9 of his last 35 and 1 of his last 14 from 3. Rodney, 10 free throws the other night, was career high. Donovan had his shooting night, but, the five previous games, he was at 46% and 44% from 3. Seth Alosha, by the way, has hit 5 of his last 6 corner threes. And Derek Favors has only had one shot in the restricted area in the last 2 games. So that's got to get fixed. And Rudy's 1 of 12 in the paint non-restricted area. So when he's getting stopped getting the rim, he has not got that mid-range shot yet. All right, that is today's edition of Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now go tell Alexa to play the program Locked On NBA. Or say, okay, Google, play podcast Locked On NBA. And then you'll get a really good program because it's with Kevin Pelton, and hopefully you'll like it. And if your device is currently about to play, you're really mad at me. All right, have a great day. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network.